worship Jesus, the Father of creation. We've come to give him glory, for he's the author of salvation. For he alone is worthy to receive our adoration.
We're here just to worship the Lord. We're here to worship.
Oh,
says to me, He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Yes, He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is with me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. And He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful.
wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. He's our wonderful Lord. He's our Redeemer. He's all those things we sing about. I just wanted to get up and welcome everyone here tonight on Wednesday night. We got quite a few that's gone. But we have a guest from Brother Benfield's church in Memphis, Brother Dennis Reed. We want to welcome him. He's in town on a little business, but he wanted to be on the house of God on a Wednesday night midweek service to be with us. We appreciate that. We want you to take your liberties if you was home, your home church, whatever it is you do, if you and testify, preach, or sing, or quote poems, or just be a support. Brother Smith, he's a busy man, and I don't know what tied him up this evening, but he was on his way. Mom thought he was right behind him, looked in the rearview mirror, and he wasn't there. And he got a message to me. He said, "I'll be late. Go ahead and get started." And Brother Brett's on the road, and I imagine Brother Stewart's working. Is that right? Got in late, maybe. Brother Oates working late. Sister Elsie Ratliff, just talked to her. She's sick. I think it's a medication made her sick that she took. And yes. And the Golden Kids. The Golden Kids are back. Sister Tucker's back. Appreciate all them being back. Been gone. They've been up blessing the good folks up in Wichita and in Brooklyn. Missed me so bad, she said she just had to get back and see me. And I've been teasing her about that. She's my little buddy. Anyway, let's see. I'm trying to think of the ones that aren't here that I know where they're at. No, and Oh, and Brother Tally's back too, but yeah. We need. And Sister Tally will be here tonight, but they took her, Sister Tally's mom, to the hospital. So this evening, so we need to pray for Sister Tally's mother tonight. Sister Wilkins is sick, and she wanted to request for a prayer for her granddaughter, broken ankle or something. And pray for Brother Stan. His health has been an issue for the last couple of years, I believe. And let me tell you something. When you constantly are battling your health, it takes its toll on you emotionally and mentally as well as physically. And you can get depressed over being, because you're sick, you don't feel good. And he needs encouraged. And I'd like to see the Lord help him and touch him. That's scary, and the sister Sue Thompson went to the hospital, had some with some heart complications, but they tested her and they said they can treat it with medication, so she don't have to have any type of surgery or anything. Anytime there's some kind of heart problem or something, that's a scary thing. And so I'm sure she desired our prayers. She's a long time worker in this church, with the school and all the hard work she's poured in her labors here, and I know she would appreciate our prayers. So let's lift her up tonight and before the Lord. Sister Lisa, pray for Joshua. That's Joshua York. That's her uncle, Sister Sandra's cousin. Yes, her uncle's son. Her cousin. Brother, Sister York's grandson, he needs our prayers. He's in a situation where he definitely has, and that's also Sister Gladys's nephew as well. Isn't that right? He's your nephew, yeah. And I want to, I know that he. His prayers, our prayers, will be appreciated by him at this time, and so let's lift him up, and lift up his his father too, Brother Scotty. He was grew up in the Republic Church, and hasn't been in church with us for quite some time, but maybe the Lord would deal with him, and. I think the Lord is dealing with him. There's some things that I talked to him, and I could tell the Lord was dealing with him. And I think some others have talked to him, and I think he does have a desire to get back to the body. And so I asked the Lord, to make a way for him, open doors that he can find his way back. I know God wants us to pray for his people. Have a burden for him, and become as concerned about him as he is. You know, God, Jesus kept asking Peter, do you love me? He said, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. He wanted somebody to have as big a concern for his people as he did. And that's our calling. That's all of our calling. It's not just the calling of the men up on this platform. That's your calling too. To be a servant, to be a witness. And not just to your brothers and sisters, although that's part of our calling. We got to treat each other right, you know. It's easy, you know, it's always easier to treat a stranger better. I don't know why that is, but it is. But to treat your wife right, talk to her right, talk to your kids right, talk to your brothers and sisters right, you know. There's some people who can really put the dog on for somebody that don't know them, but to treat your brothers and sisters right in the Lord, and have their welfare in mind, and that's a spirit that I want to have, and for many years it was all about me. What's in it for me? And when it all comes down to it, all the satisfying me never really satisfied at all. Made me more miserable. Wasn't enough. Never is enough. But he that loses his life for my sake shall surely find it. But he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. And that's what we constantly, in Adam, when we're walking around in the natural man, and not so much just natural, but when it becomes carnal, that's what, I gotta get mine. You're not consciously thinking that. It's something that's just working, that nature that's working in you. Constantly wants to get yours. It'll let you down. You can have it all. In the natural, all the fulfilling of the flesh. You can have everything that the your natural man desires, and you can be oh so miserable. You will be oh so miserable. And I appreciate my mom's testimony, looking out in that swimming pool with her Porsche in the driveway. And wondering, God, is there more to life than this? There's people out here, they're going to put on airs. They're going to act like everything's all right. They're going to tell you, oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I just got a raise. My husband doing this. My son just got a scholarship to Arkansas State. We're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing that. No, but how are you doing? I don't care about what all you've accomplished. How are you doing? Do you have peace and all that? Well, that's what this world's looking for here. And I would like to be one that can give them. Say, hey, I've got something that you can have. I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. I don't have a stock with a high yield. I don't anybody's got me that much of that anymore anyway. I don't have a great retirement plan. I can't offer you riches in this world, but I can offer you peace. When I was thinking about it again, as I was standing out there at the fireworks display on the river, we just went down there because we'd never went to one of them big deals before. We thought we had to go see one. It was pretty. You can feel the concussion of the explosion in the air. Boom. And I seen all those people, and I was thinking, Lord, what do I say? How do I reach out to them? Is it time? When's it going to be time? Will you give me the word? I don't want to just on my own just start going up and talking to them. I want to feel some sort of anointing to do it. I want to feel an inspiration, and I want to know you've called me to do it, so I'm not out just wasting my time. Lord, could you know, Jesus said, nobody comes to me except the Spirit of my Father drawing. And he talked about those that he gave to him. And Lord, I want to be so close to God that I know who God's dealing with. Who is ready? Who is ripe for the picking? Well, I think it's going to take a spiritual spiritual ear. Just going over those verses in Revelation. All of them had he that hath an ear to hear. Well, there's a lot of people going out in the streets witnessing right now. They're picking fruit, ripe, unripe, whatever they can pick. They're picking it all. And they'll get a few ripe ones out of it because they're just hitting so many. But I don't want to waste God's time. And I think that's a calling that God's all calling us to. And that's why we need ministry. To teach us how to hear from heaven. To teach us how to hear from God. To give us a radio station. Show us how to dial in. You know, you can have, you know, these got these radio stations. There's, if I had a radio right here, and I didn't turn it on, I just had it here, I could tell you, so there's thousands of radio waves just going through here, just waves this way and that waves, and if I had, I could have just AM, FM, I could pick up probably 40 or 50 channels here in Little Rock. If I had a shortwave, I could pick up more. If I had emergency channels and NOAA, and I could pick up hundreds of channels. CB radios, there's radio waves just out the gazoo. But to have you have to have the proper equipment, and you have to know how to dial in. Yeah, my father was young. He, just like all young men, he got into different things. And when Dad got into something, he didn't just get into it. He got into it big time. He got into bird hunting. He had bird dogs. He got into bass fishing. Had a big bass boat. And then he took this. He did what? The best bass boat he can get. Yeah. Then he got into, for a very short period of time, I don't remember this being a long time, but I remember him getting into it, ham radios. No, he got a ham radio, the big one. He put up a tower at the house. But you have to be trained on how to use them ham radios. You can't just say, I'm going to buy one, put it in your house, put up a tower, and start using it. You have to know how to dial in. But Jerry, did you ever get one of those, ham radio? Not him. You could talk to people in Peru, and you could speak French. You could talk to people, and you can find somebody to interpret. There's a lot of English-speaking people around the world, but you talk to people all over the world off a ham radio, and shortwave, and but God is on a whole different frequency. He's on a whole different frequency. You can't get an electronic gadget to find God, to hear Him speak. You must be born again. You don't even really have to be born again to hear Him speak. He can deal with you. I've heard of people with testimonies that God spoke to them to be saved. Brother Souders. But to hear Him lead you daily. Sometimes He'll speak in another voice you don't normally speak in. He's longing to fellowship with us. He's longing for us to do His will, but He can't just come down. We have to come up. We have to get less of me and more of Him. So, I want to be one that's listening to the voice of God. And I want to be one that's heeding to the ministry. You know, I believe that's the ministry's job. I believe that's the ministry's job to teach the people how to hear from God. You know, that's their job. That's the job. Not so that you always have to listen to the minister all the time. Everything he's... He's given gifts. We read the fourth chapter of Ephesians the other day. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Am I quoting that right? Give some gifts. Close enough. So we're to come to a measure. The ministry is to bring us to a measure, to a certain height. When you get to that certain height, I believe when you do that, you'll always honor the ministry and you'll always be obedient to the ministry. But that's not what it's about. The ministry, that's such a misconception, I believe, sometimes, especially when you listen to young people talk, that to the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ, that the ministry is here just so we can tell you what to do. And You know, I was thinking today, Brother Smith was talking to Sister Ruth up there and trying to get her to figure out how to measure that kennel up there, because he's trying to transfer some of this, what he's done up there, to down here. And Sister Ruth has really no, she may going to know something now about measuring tapes and how to measure a room and how to measure an opening and all this. And I thought, now if Sarah was there, she could do it. Now why did I think that in my mind? Do I think Sarah's got a lot more brains and smarter? No, Sarah has actually went out and done carpentry with her father. She's helped him trim houses. She knows how to read a tape. She knows what a frame of a door would be. She knows that. That's good. Now, she's been around it. She's learned it. And her father's bragged to me at how good she was, a big help she was on the job. And that's, I believe, when you start off, she started off working, he had to say, now, this is, what, a quarter and a half, and whatever all these lines represent, had to explain all that to her, I'm sure, at one time. And he started explaining the basics of carpentry. Well, the next time, he didn't have to explain all that again to her, she'd learned it. That's how we are. We kind of grow in Christ. Once you get to a place in Christ, you shouldn't have somebody have to deal with you and explain those things to you and bring you up in that place again. But you should already experience that and learn that. And it becomes a part of you after a while. And that's the job. I believe that's the job of ministry. And the job of the saints is to get in, get their heart where they want to learn. It's not, this ain't just something that just going through the motions. This is, should become a part of your life. But praise God. I just want to get tuned in, dialed in to what the Lord is saying. Where I know when there's a field to be reaped, that I can I'll know the Lord's speaking to me. The Lord's saying, that person right there, I'm calling that person. My spirit's dealing with him. Go ahead and talk to him. He's ready. Or her. Or them. I want to see this world saved. I have a burden for the people here in Little Rock, Arkansas. There's people all over the city that's crying out, give me a drink. Give me a drink. And all we can say is, I got something you can drink, you never thirst again. I got something that'll satisfy. Praise God. We need to take up the missionary offering tonight. And take these needs that we've lifted up, all these names that were called before the Lord. We got another one. That 13? That's the girl's name, Taylor Thompson. Let me say something real quick. 50 years ago, you didn't hear about kids having cancer. And now, their kids are getting cancer all the time. Diabetes. Educate yourselves about, I think it's GMOs, the water supply. I'm telling you, the things that we're ingesting in our body, even those who are very moderate in what they eat, there are things that they're even putting in the seeds, in the crops, that are just devastating on the human body. fertility rates have dropped, and I'm not, you know, it's not that they're just preaching to us that we need to have less children, but it's also the people young. I've seen there's a lot of young people having trouble having children now. And educate yourselves on these things, because this world is getting more and more toxic. And whether you believe it's by design or you just believe it's just happened, educate yourself so you can be aware of the things that are out here that are causing these things. And it's sin in the world, and it's polluted the world, and man is devastating and abusing the things that are natural. But so let's, I just feel so bad. We prayed a girl we prayed for a long, you little girl in Republic we prayed for a long time. Sister Durham called her out all the way up to the time she died. This little 2-year-old girl had cancer and clever. So we want to pray for this 13-year-old girl. Is there any other needs before we go, Sister? Brother Paul's working. And Sister Rachel got asked to do something, to work. She's working, but she should be here pretty soon. So pray for her safe return home here this evening. Tyrone, you pray for him. Keep him in your prayers. You find that somebody's got a chronic condition that's bothering them, just keep him in your prayers. All right, let's ushers come forth. And we'll pray. Stand. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight. We ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord. We have so many needs. So many of your family, Lord, that's suffering, Lord, and with illnesses and just the daily working, Lord, and having to work many hours. And see, we appreciate, Lord, and to keep your hand on them as they work, protect them in this heat. Lord, the ones that aren't here tonight that are sick, we ask you, Lord, that you're healing. Spirit would come in like a balm and heal them, Lord. Petition you to touch them, heal them. Lord, this little girl with cancer. This lady that they think might have liver cancer. Lord, we know those are serious matters. Lord, touch Sister Sue. Help her and let her know that you're with her. And this condition with her heart. One, Brother Tyrone with this. With his illness, Lord, you know that you can touch him. Let him feel you, Lord, and let him know you're with him. Oh, God, let it help us, Lord, be more tuned into you. Let us hear your voice more, Lord, that we may know your will. It's not just about us, but it's you've called us to help a dying world, oh, God. Oh, God, we just ask you, Lord, to be with us. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, everything that you've done in our life, oh God. Oh, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We ask it all in your name. Bless the people as they give tonight to help your people abroad. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Jesus. Sister Wilkins. Oh, God. Dear Lord. Dear Jesus. Oh, God, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Jesus. Little Joshua, Lord, down there in Missouri. Lord, let him know you. Speak to him, Lord. You keep dealing with his heart. Dear Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you.
to be here tonight and enjoyed feeling the Lord already.
Yes.
Feeling His presence. Brother Michael was up. I was thinking earlier today, I had a carpenter that I'm working with that we're out there working in the heat. I'm not used to working out in this heat, Brother Miguel. he keeps asking me if I think that the weather is warmer here than back in Springfield, and I said, it probably is a little bit, but I'm just not used to being out in it, you know. I'm used to being in the air condition. I didn't realize how nice I had it. I'm a trim carpenter. This is the excuse we used to always give our builder, that, when the air conditioning is on in your home, the atmosphere acclimates to all the wood acclimates to the atmosphere in the home. And so, that was just, the whole point is you need it on so we can have some air conditioning. No, the moisture in your wood, when the air conditioning comes on, drops. And when the moisture in wood drops, it shrinks. So you could trim out a door, you could trim out a house, and if you put it up when the moisture content is at 12% and the air conditioner gets turned down, all the moisture gets sucked out of it. And, down to, 8 or 9%. Your board may shrink in length an eighth of an inch or so. And so then there goes all your hard work. We tried to make this look pretty and all the joints look nice. It was a legitimate argument. And so we'd get them to turn the air conditioning on and let us work in the air conditioning. So. But anyway, we were having to take breaks because of the heat today. It was so hot. I think the humidity makes it worse too, but he made a statement that kind of hit me, because I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I've not asked him, but he said, "Oh, Adam," he said, "if it wasn't for Adam, we wouldn't have to go back to work, but I guess we are." And I thought, well, that's an interesting way to look at it, Got it. We do have to work. Adam sinned, and so God told him that by the sweat of his brow, he would have to work to eat. And so, I've been putting in my sweat in time. I didn't realize I could sweat so much. I told him, you're right. I said, Adam did, through his sin, we had to go back to work. But I said, did you know that Jesus came to reverse that? And I've never really shared that like that in that way with anybody, but he's like, wow. He said, I never heard that one before. I said, yeah, Jesus, the Bible, David the psalmist, he prophesied in the Psalms, and he spoke from Jesus' perspective. In most of the Psalms, and in Psalm 69, he said, I came to restore that which I took not away. And I said, he was also called the second man, Adam. And so he had a big job on his hands when he came back to the earth. But when he came, as a baby and grew up and had to go through all the trials that we go through now because of the sin that Adam brought. But he came and gave us a promise that we can have hope for a restoration and have that back, have a relationship back with God, and have that you know, there's a lot of things that happened when Adam sinned, and one of the things was that there was a curse put on the earth, and so all on the natural things of the earth, and that you know, I can he goes it had to be a literal place, didn't it? And I said, well, I think it might have been more of a condition, but I said there is natural things that happened. You know, the earth is not as like Brother Michael was saying, the earth is, we're suffering. I can't imagine there being, you know, the vines and all the brambles and the thorns and all those things, and all the pestilence and the bugs that the earth is suffering from. And so there has to be a natural thing that we're suffering from, but Jesus came that we can have it restored and have it back like Adam had when he was on the earth, and we can enjoy all the things that Adam had. And so anyway, I thought he was a little bit, I said, well, that is something that you can at least chew on and think about for a little bit. And but he was taken a little bit by it. But it's exciting for me to think that we have that to look forward to, and to have not only our spiritual, be able to overcome sin, but to be able to have a natural world that is more pure, and that God is going to restore that. And so I feel blessed to be a part of what Jesus came to do, and to give us, to restore for us. And anyway, so I'm happy to be here tonight, and God bless y'all.
I did want to stand up and thank the Lord for your service here. I mean, I really enjoyed, I was, when I'm away from home, I like to go to the churches and the body. So last year I worked in, I did contract work, and I worked in Nashville for seven months actually. So it was nice to have a church there to go to. And so they told me that I'll be taking another class here, so in the coming months, so I'll be back hopefully then. So. And just enjoy feeling that Spirit of God here. So.
want to say how thankful I am to be here tonight, and how thankful I am for the vision that we have. And I've been studying the last week or two, and last few days I've shared some stuff with Angie and the kids, and we just kind of had a little Bible study at home. It was really neat because I never really realized how much of everything that I absorb at church and that I've learned through the years that comes back when God wants it to. You know, I mean, I really, sometimes I sit down and study and I don't even hardly, seems like I don't even hardly understand anything, but when God blesses something, He can bring things back to you that you thought you'd forgotten. And as I was sharing with Angie and the kids, it was amazing all the facts and bits and pieces that I've learned through the years that just kind of came in order from the beginning to the end, you know. And I'm really thankful that God allowed those things to be placed in my heart that I could share with my family. And as Brother Michael was saying, as He prepares us not only to share them with my family, but also with other people in the future. And that's what I've really seen, is that was the beginning or training to share with other people at the right time. And that verse came to me from the Bible that said that, you know, in order for you to be qualified to be a bishop, that you had to be able to take care of your own family. I can't remember the exact words, but I do remember that verse. I mean, there's certain qualifications that you have to have, and I was looking at that like, you know, before you can go out and teach others, you know, you've got to be able to do that in your own household. So I'm really thankful that God's growing us as He is, and that we're growing in Him. And I'm thankful for the picture that He's given us, because the more I study the things that Brother Leninger wrote and Brother Souders wrote, and just the Bible itself, when you go back to the scriptures that they use for reference when you're reading one of the books, it's amazing. Because I go there to read the scripture, and then I start reading the next two chapters in front of that, and that even opens up more, because God's blessing is on me already, you know, from the rest of the stuff. So it just opens my eyes up more, the eyes of my understanding. And I'm really thankful for that. Thankful for the truth that we have. And it just makes so much more sense the more you dig into it of how true the truth is, if that makes sense. And there's nothing like the truth of God. There's nothing that compares to it. I couldn't imagine being taught anything else. And the more, you know, you read about, like, the fall and rise of the church, you know, like the timetables and stuff, it's just amazing how God brought us from one point to where we're at today, and how He used all those different people through the years, and how it ended up with us here. And that's just special, you know. And you think of all the people out there that they have a little bitty piece of the truth, or little bitty bits and pieces, but they don't really have enough to really chew on. And I remember reading in that book how somebody said they couldn't imagine not having that food to eat, that meat. And I'm really thankful that we have that meat to eat, because once you get to a certain stage, in other words, if I went somewhere else, or if I was at one of those churches out in the world, and that's what happened to me when I was out there, is, you know, every once in a while Angie and I would go somewhere, but it wouldn't fill me up. And I knew that I had to get home where I could eat that steak. I knew all along, because they couldn't feed me. They didn't even have the food to feed what we get here, that Jesus feeds us. So I'm just thankful that He gives us food that fills us up. And thankful for the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that we feel when we come to church. And even in our daily life, I'm really thankful for that. God's leading and guidance. And that He is merciful, and that He does allow for mistakes as we grow, because that is part of growing up. You know, when a little baby walks, sometimes they fall down a few times before they get their legs about them. But I'm looking to get to a point in God to where I'm completely trusting in Him and yielding my life to Him, because I know that that's the only place that we can be in Him when it's all said and done. That our will has to completely go. And we can't live by the things that we want or that we desire, but we have to get to a place where God's will and His desires is the desire of our heart. So I'm really glad that God's opening my eyes to those things and helping me to realize, you know, where we are going in the future, and that there really isn't any time to play, you know. Like Brother Smith says, sometimes he says, you know, the spirit of prophecy brings things close. Yes, it does, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't still be prepared, you know. And as much as we can yield in God as He deals with us, we should be willing to lay the things down that He asks out of our lives and to take it serious, because it is a serious thing. And I guess that's one of the biggest things that I've realized since studying is, you know, as explained to the kids that, you know, about the bride and the resurrection that goes along with that. Right? Second, I don't have all that in my mind, but we were talking about it, and like Brother Smith had been talking lately, you might as well just go ahead and make the bride. I mean, if possible, if God don't take you out before He can perfect you or mature you. So I want to, you know, if at all possible, I want to yield my life enough to God that whatever He's got to do in my life to get the things out that are hindering Him or standing in His way, I want them things gone. And I know that I can't do it myself, but I also know that it does take yielding and laying my life down into His hands so that He can work whatever He wants to work in my life. And that's a difficult thing. It is, because, you know, like Brother Michael was saying a while ago, there is all the desires that we have as human beings, you know. I've always dreamed of having a horse farm or a big place or something like that. But, you know, as I grow in God, I mean, that's still a little bit of a desire. But, you know, those things, they kind of pass away. I mean, they just don't mean as much to me. You know, whatever You want out of my life, God, if that's not Your will, then that's not what I want. And I'm thankful that He works with us and that He is patient with us until He can get us to a point to where we'll listen to Him really good. And I really appreciate your words, Brother Michael, about God getting us to a place where we can tune into Him and hear Him. And I know what you're saying is true, because I've been watching the services in the past year and God's been dealing with me about that exact same thing. You know, down to the little bitty things, like when Brother Smith stands up, before he stands up, I know we're supposed to stand up, and that is part of being in tune. You know, the Holy Ghost moving things and beckoning things or prompting things, I guess you would call it, and that's how you learn. And the other thing is, like you're saying, sometimes when to witness to people. I was in a home about a month ago, and it really wasn't even a real qualified home. It was just one of those ones where I was just going to do a presentation and see if there was anything there. And if there wasn't, you know, had fun. I did something that day or that hour or two that I was in there. And maybe get some referrals at the least. But I got in there and I started doing the presentation. And this guy came by that had known God and was going to college to be a preacher or something like that. I mean, as far as he knew, I mean, that was pretty good. But he got mixed up in a bunch of things, and he'd come by and he'd been in a lot of trouble and stuff. And I was thinking, God, you know, what is going on here? Because he was giving me a really, really hard time, and I could tell that he was on drugs, you know. But I kept trying to look beyond that, and then I realized, you know, I realized by me being there that the presence of God, the light of God, was shining on those people. because even though they were giving me a hard time and they were saying some ungodly things, eventually the conversation turned around and it turned back to God. And he started telling me things, you know, about how his dream at one time was to be a preacher. And so you never know whose life you're touching. And then down at the very end, I mean, I felt like God touched him through me. You know, he's gotten some pretty serious trouble. And usually when I was younger, when I got in trouble, that puts some pressure on you. And you start seeking God. And you know, because really, you know, all in all, that's the only person that can really help you in the trouble he was in. A lawyer can only do so much. But I really felt like God touched him, or touched that situation, and let me shine his light. Or, you know, he felt something through that. And he told me, he said, "Tyrone, I already know." He said, "I know God's dealing with my life." And he said, you know, "I know that the reason why all this happened," he knew, you know, he knew that it was God dealing with him. But I got down to the end of the presentation and they had kind of left, you know, that was just one part of it. And I just started feeling something. The guy walked out of the house and his girlfriend was in there, and I was cleaning the machine up. They went outside for a second and she just started crying. And she's like, "I grew up in church." And she said, and I said, and God just started speaking through me. I said, "You know what?" I said, "You know where you need to be." And she just started, broke down and started bawling. And she said, "I know." And she said, "I don't know what happened." And I said, "Well, I know this." I just encouraged her, you know, because I've been there before. I said, "It's never too late." I said, "God will take you back at any time." She said, "I grew up in a Pentecostal home in church." And I could feel the Holy Ghost in there, you know, dealing in between us. And it just goes to show that we are coming to a time, like Brother Michael was saying, that people are starting to look. And I told her, I said, "You know what these guys are doing will never solve or answer your problems. And you know deep in your heart that God is the only one that can fill what all of y'all are looking for here." And she knew. I mean, she received that. And I knew that was of God. I mean, that wasn't just... And that was probably the whole purpose of me being there, because they didn't buy the machine. She wanted it bad, but her boyfriend would not let her get it. And he had good credit and everything. He just wouldn't let her get it. And so I'm thankful that he does lead us and guide us, and that he is teaching us, because there will come a day, and I feel like it's really soon. It's on the way, where God is going to need people to stand up. And like you said, Brother Michael, to discern when somebody's hurting or when God's dealing with their life, so that we can lead them to something that is real. Because I really believe that a lot of people fell by the wayside because after they were saved, they never really got that fullness that they were looking for. So they couldn't really be fed right. And if you don't have that food to eat after you get to know God, then you can fall by the wayside. So I know that as God deals with people's hearts and helps them to, you know, tills their hearts up and sends people to him, that he's going to help give us the anointing to bring them in here. I'm really thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful to be a part of God's work, and that is my heart's desire, is to do God's work while this world is here.
Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for me. I thank you for the way you've led me, oh, so patiently, from chains of sin that bound my soul. You came and tenderly unlocked them all, and now I know at last